Our scripture reading this morning comes from the end of Luke 9 and into Luke 10. Luke 9:57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, let me go and bury my Father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for the town." Verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all of the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is what we're going to have a look at today. Some aspects of this. Hopefully you collected some little leaflet as you came in, which will give you some guidelines as to how we're going. Friends, aren't we glad that May's over? Because we don't have to cope with mission anymore until next year. How wonderful that is. Do we need any more? Do we need to know any more? Those of you who have been in Baptist churches for some time, you are well aware that every May, it's mission focus. May's over, we're now in June. How good is that? The church that I had most of my teaching and input in, along with many other Baptist churches, late 60s, early 70s, it was the policy of Baptist churches then that you put aside each week or each month, however you were paid, you put away some money separate from your normal giving, so that in May you gave a week's wages to overseas mission. And in the month of May, there was a bit of a tradition that people would bring during the weeks of May what they had set aside for overseas mission, which was the equivalent of a week's wage, which was a lot of money, But that was the tradition of support for mission. That's how May operated. Now, I'm not sure that people are so methodical or people would even be willing to do that today. There was never anything like a fundraiser in the church. It wasn't a strict church. It wasn't an independent Baptist, just an ordinary Baptist church. But that was the tradition towards mission. So, friends, we don't need to hear more. And I don't want anyone to leave this place today feeling guilty. I've got up there. Some people, I think, hear mission. Oh, and they feel guilty. I've got to give more. And I guess many of you, like us, are receiving things at this time of the year through the mail from all sorts of mission societies asking for money. But friends, or we ignore the message and just say, well, you know, it's for people who want to go overseas. Well, the whole philosophy has changed. We don't only think overseas now. In fact, we are beginning to realise that it's perhaps countries that we sent missionaries to who are going to be sending missionaries to us because we've been in some ways struggling spiritually. So, Satan says to us, that's not quite right in your thinking. Could you be a missionary? Could you be a missionary? And friends, what do we want to say? Yes, 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 I am a missionary. Not in the sense necessarily of going overseas, although some people will be called to do that. Great, and we should be supporting them. As I say, if you've got two adults in a family working and the kids have all grown up and you need to work for your own satisfaction, well, one income should be given to mission, hey? Because you don't need two full adult incomes to live on when you haven't got any debts or mortgages. Why would God give us money if it isn't to give away and to use? So, Satan says, you a missionary? And we say, yes, either in going or keeping my eyes open to share with people or by giving, I am part of that missionary call. Now, why would we not want to share the love of God? I mean, why wouldn't we want to share God's love? Isn't that what a missionary does? We just share the love of God in a natural way. Why has God put us where he's put us? I mean, why are you in an elderly citizens club? Why are you working where you're working? Why has God given you employment where he's given? So that you can minister the love of God. Isn't that what a missionary does? Just ministers the love of God wherever God has put us. I think it's sort of simple, but then, unfortunately, the older I get, the fewer people think like me. And I think, have I missed something in this? The same as I don't think Christianity is all that difficult to understand. But a lot of people do. So, friends, this is God. He's not slow. He wants people to respond. And we pray, Father, your will be done. Well, is this not the will of God for people to hear about Jesus? That's his will. Do we need anything else explained? I don't think so. So, how do I fulfill this prayer? Well, I be me. Now, I get special privileges because, as a pastor, where God has plonked me, I speak to people who want to get married. And part of my talking to people is that they have to read a section of the Bible and then talk to me about it. I take funerals. I have an opportunity to speak there about the love of God and, you know, what's going to happen. It's too late for this person in the coffin, but it's not too late for us to hear about the love of God. So I have a special privilege, but a responsibility. For this is where God has placed me. So God's placed all of us somewhere. Let's forget May for Mission Month. Let's think about 12 months of the year we're on mission. And it's not onerous. It's just, I like to think, being who we are and loving God and loving people. One hand up to God, one hand out to people. And just hang on. This is God and His love. So, mission I've got there looks at the situation with compassion and responds. Now, excuse me, we've got these situations with, pardon me, these people and with their excuses. It's rather interesting, isn't it? That depending on your translation, on the Bible that I've got, it's got the cost of following Jesus. Just as they were walking along the road, Jesus meets these people. And so he talks to the first man. And the first man says, I'll follow you wherever. I'll follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, have a think about this. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. I'm just wandering along and there's no social security if you follow me. Oh, have a think about that. The interesting thing about Jesus is that he's not all that keen on volunteers all the time because he actually says when people want to volunteer, go home and have a think about it first. Make sure you know what you're doing. We have been quite silly in the Christian church and we've said anyone can come. No, Jesus didn't say that at one level. He said, yes, anyone can respond to my call, but have a think about what you're doing. And we need to say that. You know, we've had on notice boards, all welcome, and people are welcome, and that's wonderful. But the other side is there is a definite challenge. Go home and have a think. And that's why, friends, we're missionaries, so that we can answer questions that people have. And everyone has a different question. So we're a missionary there, and when a person says, oh, what about this? Do you really believe the 7 days of creation? Do you really believe Jesus died? Yep, well, we can answer those questions because we're on mission, but we're just being us. That's what I like to think. That, yeah, I know some of my jokes are dreadful and things don't work, but we're just us. Just us, natural, ordinary people sharing the love of a wonderful, extraordinary God. So the first bloke says, well, yeah, I guess there isn't any social security. I have to think about that. The next one, well, he says, first of all, I have to go home and bury my father. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. And with that, I think he introduced a new profession, the dead undertaker. Because if the dead are going to bury their own dead, well, the undertaker's dead. So this is, and I've met a few who are a bit like that. They look like they're dead. But this was a social custom, and it was probably quite legitimate. But what he's saying here is, are you going to just make your family a priority all the time? Now, there are some people who do that. They set their children up as idols. And in a way, the family becomes before God. We need to be careful. God first, I often say, God first, hopefully family second, church third. Because we never get that opportunity with the family, but God has to come first. God has to be the priority, otherwise we're in danger. And then there's the third bloke who says, I'll follow, but oh, first I've got to go home and say goodbye. And Jesus says there, look, basically, if you can't be bothered following me now, I don't care. Go back and deal with your family and that's it. So this is just a challenge to us as followers of Jesus. Pardon me. Follow on? Yeah, what is the follow on from May? What is the follow on? What continues on from May Missions Month? Well, following Jesus is the follow on. So, then Jesus says, well, I don't know what he says, but in here it says, after this, so I'm saying the volunteer system's collapsed. Doesn't seem as if any of those three representing us or people are going to respond. So then he says, right, 72, and out you go two by two. Support each other, I guess pray with each other. There's a security in having at least two together, and out you go and minister. There is a wonderful harvest, but there aren't many harvesters, but out you go. There's a wonderful book written, What's Gone Wrong with the Harvest? And I just wonder if it's not what's gone wrong with the harvest, but what's gone wrong with the harvesters and the sharing of the news, because a lot of people are really keen to hear about Jesus. They're not so keen on the church, but they are keen about Jesus. So there's that thought about Jesus. So then, out go the 72. And yes, when they come back, it's amazing. But the question that I've got here, am I happy to be one of the 72? Am I still a willing, joyful, alert volunteer, or am I easily sidetracked? Am I sidetracked by some of these things, three here? Like, hang on a minute, I can't follow if I haven't got the social security. No bag, no purse, no anything, not even a toothbrush. No. Friends, am I still happy? Happy to be a follower of Jesus? Am I really? Or am I easily sidetracked? So off they go. It's interesting, isn't it, that he sends them into a place that he is going to come. He sends them two by two ahead to places like opening the door. Could that be us, that we just are like door openers or messengers, a bit like John the Baptist, that we're people who just open the door for Jesus to be able to express himself? We're not Jesus. We're just people who go in the name of the Lord and maybe open the door so that Jesus can minister to people. Or that what's been going on in a person's life, oh, suddenly I understand. Because you, my friend, have made sense about Jesus, so Jesus can now come into my life. I think that's a lovely illustration, that he sends them out almost to do the frontline work and then he comes and ministers. How beautiful is that? Friends, we've got lots of spots where Jesus can minister. Now, there are some helpful hints that he gives here. The first one is, travel lightly. Yes, in verse 10, he told them not to take this, that or the other. And I just said, not even a toothbrush. Right. Not even a change of underwear. Not even a change of underwear. Off you go. So what's he saying to us? Well, I think what he's saying to us is we're not likely to go out doing this. But what he's saying is, have you got too much stuff to hold you back? Have you got too much? Or I know someone once told me that they would never buy a house because having a mortgage would hold them back if God called them. Now, we might think very differently, but that was that person's thinking. So it was a question of what would it be that might hold us back, that we have got too tight a hold on, if God said, move in this direction. And I think that's what he's saying here. Just be careful that you haven't got too much stuff and you're going to be held back. The next thing, when you enter a house, talk there, and if there's a man of peace, etc., etc., use your time wisely. Do you ever think you'll get to the end of life and say, oh, all that time I spent at church meetings? And using our time. We all have the same amount of time. Someone once said to me when the Queen was alive, you know, Colin, she has the same amount of time in a day as you do. The implication, I think, was look what she fits into her day and look what you fit into yours. But yeah, that's true, isn't it? We all have the same amount of time. So I think God says, just use your time wisely. Let me say, praying, reading your Bible is not wasting time. Spending time with a friend is not wasting time. But there were people who did waste time, and I understand that, in that culture, you could waste a lot of time just having a greeting, talking to people, being polite in the, and spend a lot of time. And the third thing is eliminate distractions. You know, across the desk or behind the desk. If you want to waste time, don't do it here. So we need to be careful. And just keep a check on things. It's here in the Bible for us to take notice of. I know it's cultural. I know it's different. But maybe it says the same thing. Travel lightly, use time wisely, and eliminate distractions. The wonderful thing is that those people returned and they said, we can't believe what's happened. Demons have been cast out. People have been healed. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus said, stop for a minute. That's sort of okay. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is your relationship with me and that your name is written in heaven. That is more important. What's he saying? Well, I think he's saying what Ben said a couple of weeks ago. An intimate relationship with God is far more important than any activity that we do. How important, friends, that we know that our names are written in the book of life. That's far more important than what we do. So we might be racing around, spending our time. We might be distracted and doing this and and God says, now, if you're really a follower of me, use your time wisely. Don't be distracted. Don't travel with a heavy suitcase. But make sure, first of all, before you do anything, that your name is written in heaven. That's the first mark of being a missionary. Next week, friends, is part two of this. And part two is, what is it to be in a relationship with Jesus? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have made something so very clear. Clear, and in another way so very simple, so very open, as followers of the living God. So, Lord, help us to be people who stop and who think, who don't waste time and don't waste our life, but who realise that we are on a mission and that we are part of the harvesters, that we are part of the sowers of seed, that we are part of the 72 in a way whom you have sent out. And our prayer is that we'd come back rejoicing over what we see, but we rejoice more within our hearts and minds that our name is written in the book of heaven. Father, our prayer is that as Anne shared with us about the rainbow, may we bring people into that circle of your love. For we would ask these things, that you would be glorified, and we ask them through Jesus. Amen.